direction, and it's going to be here, I guess, in a little while, and it's just going to feel great tomorrow. I am so invigorated by this weather. You know, even though the Saints lost, if you're going to be tailgating Thursday afternoon, right before the game, the sun's going to be going down, and the weather's going to be cool. Get a chance to wear sweaters and jackets and hats, and it is going to just feel great for tailgating. And hopefully that is a positive energy that is going to, just lead to a positive attitude in the dome. And you know, Saints fans, they know how to forget. We know how to forget losses. God knows we've had a lot of practice over the years, and, you know, we're going to have to do it again. We've got to put that loss behind us. The players have to put that loss behind us. And, you know, Dennis Allen has a chance to be a leader here and just, you know, get the team psyched and ready to play. I don't know how he does that. I don't see that in him, but, you know, maybe there's something that I don't see. I'm Scoot on the air, and Ian Hoke is live at People's Health in Metairie, Vets and Causeway, right next to Party City, which is right next to Trader Joe's. Today is October 15th, and this is the beginning of Medicare's annual enrollment period. This is when you can switch a plan, change a plan, join a plan. People's Health is going to help you save money. Now, you need more than Medicare. You need a supplement. You need something else. And People's Health can help you with that. This is for people 65 and older. And it's also for those of you who want to get information for your parents. You know, maybe your parents are not as mobile as they once were, and you need to get information from them. What is so awesome is that People's Health has an office. There's a building you can walk in and actually talk to people. They have free seminars, but they can also answer your questions at any time. And there's a state number to call if you want to get information about whether or not you qualify for Medicaid, Medicare. And the state number is 888-342-6207. 888-342-6207. Let's go to Ian Coleman is our studio producer back at the studio. We're going to get to all of your text messages, but you know, describe, if you can, Ian, just the atmosphere there. Yeah. At People's Health. I've been there before, and, you know, it's a great opportunity to walk in and actually get information from a live person.
You know, it's surprisingly festive. You'd think it's right next door to Party City, so, you know, people are going in there to get balloons and, you know, cake toppers and all kinds of stuff. But everybody that's in here, I think they're fired up because this is the kind of help that you can only get in a place like this. You know, a lot of people toil away, you know, asking their neighbors and their family members or doing their own research on the internet about how to navigate these health insurance systems. But people are coming in here looking for help and then getting it. So on the way in, they're excited to learn. On the way out, they're excited about what they just learned. Everybody is so helpful and friendly, and there's donuts. I've just eaten a donut. It was delicious. That really gets everybody in a good mood, too. So, yeah, it's a lovely little facility. So convenient to everything. What a great spot. Man, love it.
You know, and let's just also mention how complicated this can be. You know, I mean, I went through this process. It's complicated. And, I mean, you can be a smart person and it's still complicated. And People's Health makes it so, so easy for you to find out what you need to find out. And then you make a decision based on the information that you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I'm on the private employer-based insurance that I get from Odyssey. And Odyssey does their best to kind of provide an intermediary, you know, a service for, you know, if you have questions about your benefits or if you need to change something or you don't know what you're going to be covered for. Odyssey does their best at that. But it's not like I can just set a meeting to go somewhere here in New Orleans where I can just meet with an expert who can answer all the questions I have, you know, while I'm on my way to Trader Joe's. That's not a thing.
Right.
For
right.
People who have Medicare, you know, that service is available right here on Veterans Boulevard.
Yeah, or you're on your way to get a costume. And look, Party City's busy this time of year because Halloween's coming up. And you better go before the little Bo Peep outfits are gone.
How did you know my costume idea already? I must have told you.
All
did
right,
you get
look,
your sheep outfit?
No, I didn't. I love when Jerry Jones is upset. I don't like to say that, but it's so true. And if you're a Saints fan, or I'm sure other teams feel the same way about the Cowboys, there's something there's just been something about Jerry Jones. It's not that he's not smart. It's not that he's not a successful, you know, owner. But there's just something about Jerry Jones that, that makes you love it when he's upset and when he's just really PO'd. Sunday, the Detroit Lions went into AT&T Stadium on Jerry Jones's 82nd birthday, and they spanked the Cowboys 47-9. And I think Dak Prescott is one of, if not the highest paid player in the league. And, you know, he's not being that effective. The Cowboys are 3-3. So, you know, they're not out of it by any means. I think they're in third place in their division. But this is an embarrassment for Jerry Jones. So Jerry Jones is on the air with the DJ team, Shane and RJ. And they're on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Now, we don't have a recording of it, but I basically have a transcript of what Jerry Jones said. And so they're talking to Jerry Jones about the loss to the Lions, and you know, then they get into roster moves in the offseason, and they're talking to Jerry Jones about that. And so he gets really upset. He says, I mean, if you think I'm interested, if you think I'm interested with a phone call with you over the radio sitting here throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have to be smoking something over there this morning. He said, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. This is not your job. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I'm not kidding. So he's threatening to, like, have the guys fired. So he, you know, kind of sarcastically said that maybe these radio guys should show up at Tuesday's meeting of the NFL teams. He said, if you're such geniuses, maybe you should show up at the meeting. He goes on to say, you're not going to figure it out what team is doing right or wrong. If you are, then you need to come to this meeting. You really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all the things that I've done wrong without going over the rights, meaning the right things that he's done? And he said, one of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody had ever analyzed was by the Cowboys in 1989. It was an idiot that did that. And so he was the idiot that did it. He says, so idiot things can turn into good decisions. Smart things can turn into bad decisions. And Jerry Jones just basically told him, man, you know, if you think you can do better, then how come you're not at the meetings? And, you know, if I were those talk show hosts and Jerry Jones said that to me, or I was on the phone with Mickey Loomis and Mickey Loomis, first of all, Mickey Loomis would not do that. So let's not even use that as an example. Let's just say if Jerry Jones did that and I were these guys in Dallas, I'd say, look, Jerry, that's not my job. You know, my job is the job of fans, and fans do this, and fans pay your salary, and fans make you rich and famous, and so fans have a right to ask these questions, and we're asking these questions. That's not my job, but it's your job to explain the things that you do, explain those things to fans, and not everything is wrong, and not everything is right, and, you know, we're just trying to find out how you feel about these things. Now, I didn't hear them actually ask the question. There are some radio people who are boneheads, and so they might ask a question in a certain way that is totally inappropriate, totally antagonizing. And I've seen radio people, I've seen reporters, I've seen people ask questions that are totally inappropriate. They're stupid questions. So I don't know what the question was, but, you know, there's a way to answer that. But Jerry Jones was very, very upset. And, you know, so look, the Saints are in the situation that they're in. It's not the worst situation in the league. I mean, look at the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. They're not doing so well. Look at the Bengals with Joe Burrow. They're not doing so well. The Saints are not out of it. The big question is, do the fans get the sense that the Saints have it within them? As a team, from management to the coaches to the players, do they have it within them to turn things around? That's the question. And what changes the situation of players not tackling? As I said last hour, it's going to hurt to tackle a lot of players. and you might get injured. I mean, it hurts to tackle people who are running like that, especially if you tackle them in the right way, like around the legs, and those legs are moving. And these are powerful, strong people. It hurts to tackle people. It's a lot easier to just hit somebody and hope that they fall down. But that's not how you stop them. And good runners don't fall down when you hit them. So I don't know what is going to change, but somebody, and is Dennis Allen the guy to do it? Since he's the coach, I hope he is. But is he the guy to do it? Is he the guy to go in there and to just turn the mentality of this team around? I feel like the Saints gave up. I was sitting there, and if you were sitting there in the dome, if you were watching it, listening to it on the radio, you might have gotten the same sense that the Saints just gave up. And the Bucs went in at halftime, they made changes, and the Saints, obviously, I guess the Saints were happy. I mean, they came back from a 17-0 deficit in the second quarter, and man, we're kicking butt in the second quarter. We're doing really well. So did they go in the locker room and have champagne? Did they go in the locker room with the attitude, like, well, I guess we got this figured out? And then, you know, in one of the other locker rooms, you've got the Bucs, and they figured out exactly what to do. And they figured out Spencer Rattler. And I don't think it was Spencer Rattler's fault at all. And I saw some brilliant moments. But, you know, when you talk about a rookie quarterback and you talk about the lack of timing with receivers, you know, he hasn't had time with the receivers. And so those passes that were missed, a lot of that is the lack of timing, the lack of time spent with the receivers. And there's no way you can change that, except give him time. But I see a lot of positive in Spencer Rattler. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Okay, we got some great texts about the Saints. I'm going to start here. Ian and Scoot, come on, man. We've been over this before. The coach is not out on the field playing the game. You had nothing but good things to say after the Saints whooped the Cowgirls. The players out on the field missed 16 tackles, not the coach. The players on the field dropped passes, not the coach. The offensive line didn't protect the quarterback, not the coach. If they gave Derek Carr some protection, he wouldn't be hurt right now. Oh, ye of little faith.
Well, you know, I mean, I have faith. I have faith in what I see. And, you know, you're right. I mean, I said a lot of positive things about the Saints. I did not single out Dennis Allen as the only reason the Saints won the game against the Cowgirls. But is Dennis Allen the coach that's going to revitalize this team? Again, I hope so. I'm pulling for him because he's the coach. But a coach instills confidence, instills motivation in players. I mean, the coach is the leader. And some teams are just very cohesive. And you see, like last night, I, and then when I was watching the Cowgirls against the Lions, I'm watching that game. Man, the Detroit Lions were tackling like crazy. You see other teams do it. These are basically the same players on the same level. The only difference is what's in their head. And I look to a coach to inspire the players.
I remember after Eric McCoy got hurt, I caught Mike Dettillier in the hallway, and I asked him about that. And he, you know, in the way that he does, said that's going to be a big problem. There's going to be a lot of knock-on, you know, downstream consequences of that. And I think here we are. I think if Eric McCoy doesn't go down, and, you know, the offensive line is put together the way it's supposed to be, and you don't have this rash of injuries, you know, I don't think we're talking about Dennis Allen's coaching. I think we'd still be winning games, and we wouldn't be looking for someone to place this blame in it landing on poor old D.A.
But, well, wait, all of that's true, except that the same players that were on the field in the third and fourth quarter were the same players that were on the field in the second quarter. And those same players did it in the second quarter. So the question is, why couldn't they do it for the rest of the game?
Absolutely. Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, do you think there's any chance that the Saints let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win because of the hurricane? Stephen from Mandeville. He says, probably not, but just curious, what do you think of that? That would be kind of nice, but not very wise.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that at all. You know, it was interesting though in the dome. I hate all the interruptions. This is just my personal opinion. You know, after every play, there's something to distract you before the next play. Whenever there's a timeout, there's all kind of stuff to distract you. The thing that I love the most in the dome is us versus them, and it's our city versus the city we're playing. And instead of us versus them, New Orleans versus Tampa Bay, it was us with them. And it was basically about how we bond together at times like this. And they did not do the us versus, this is what's great about us, this is what's bad about them. They didn't do that. And they just talked about helping the people of Tampa Bay. And they said, we're going to just make this today. We're going to make this us with them. And, you know, the crowd loved it.
I was not at the game with you on Sunday. I did not know that. That is very wholesome. I'm glad that we decided to do that. I'm sorry I missed it. I'll leave you with this text. This one says, hey, don't forget Drew Brees will be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame at Thursday's game.
Yeah, who didn't see that coming? But yeah, that's going to be a great thing. And
I'm surprised
and
it took this long.
You know there's going to be a moment when Drew Brees and Sean Payton hug, because they were magic together for so many years. But they had a lot of years where they weren't so great. I mean, there were a lot of years when Drew Brees was our quarterback and Sean Payton was the coach and things were not so great. You know, I'm interested to see what kind of reception Sean Payton's going to get when he goes into the dome. And Mickey Loomis is talking about how he does not believe that this is a revenge game for Sean Payton. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oak and Art Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and Ian Hoke is live on location at People's Health in Metairie, Veterans at Causeway. This is the beginning of Medicare's annual enrollment period, a chance to join a plan or change a plan. It's an opportunity for you to save on health care for you or your parents. And you can stop by People's Health this afternoon and get information that you need. And really, this is information to help you save money. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1956, Little Richard recorded this song at J&M Studio in New Orleans. It was not released until January of 1958. The song went to number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And this song, Good Golly Miss Molly, was listed as number 94, the number 94th most important rock song in Rolling Stone magazine's list of the top 500 greatest songs of all time. On a list of 500, this was 94. And Little Richard recorded it at J&M Studios in New Orleans. And New Orleans, really, people didn't know it at the time, but New Orleans was really the bed of a lot of the origin of rock and roll. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Yeah, I'm Scoot, and Ian Hoke is at People's Health in Metairie, Vets and Causeway, right next to Party City. We'll check in with him in just a minute. Jerry Seinfeld is taking back comments that he made about the extreme left killing comedy. Seinfeld made this comment a little while back, and in fact, as far back as 2015, Seinfeld did an interview, and he said, I don't play colleges anymore because people are so PC, so politically correct. Seinfeld also, earlier this year, faced walkout by students because of his support for Israel. Jerry Seinfeld is Jewish, and I don't think that there's any surprise that he supports Israel. So the students, some students walked out of his show earlier this year. But Seinfeld, in talking to The New Yorker and also in a podcast, Jerry Seinfeld said that basically people have been too sensitive. And he lashed out and blamed the left for ruining comedy. And he said, that's not true. And he takes it back. I mean, I think the right and the left have ruined comedy. And we should be able to laugh. I mean, when people watch Saturday Night Live, they get upset. When people watch Stephen Colbert or they watch the late shows, when people hear their candidate being made fun of, they take it personally. And we've talked about this often on the show. I wrote a blog about it a while back, about how people have personalized politics to the point where if you criticize a candidate, they take it personally. And, you know, we should be able to be political. We should stand for what we want to stand for. We should be able to vote for who we want to vote for. But it shouldn't be so personal that, you know, you get upset beyond a certain point when somebody says something about a candidate. And you know, nobody is immune from humor. And Saturday Night Live has been making fun of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and they've been making fun of Joe Biden. So it's not like they're just making fun of Donald Trump. But yeah, Donald Trump is part of it as well. So I don't think it's the left. I think it's the left, and I think it's the right. We need to laugh. And that's why I think it's so cool that on this show we're talking about the singing Trump. The singing Trump is a guy who looks like Trump, sounds like Trump, and he sings and dances. And he's going to be at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center Wednesday, October 30th. And, I mean, I think that's going to be a fun show. And some of you may have seen him on America's Got Talent. And there were people who, some of the panel said, all right, look, we don't like Trump, but you're really funny. And it's not really making fun of Donald Trump. It's just trying to make America laugh again, which I think is really important. There is a new survey out that shows that one out of four adults believe they have ADHD. That's Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, ADHD. Man, when I was in school, when I was growing up, there was no talk of this. And I know kids had it. It's not like this is something brand new. It's just that it's been diagnosed in modern times. And according to an Ohio State University study, about 25% of adults believe that they are undiagnosed with ADHD. Only 13% have shared that information with a doctor. Dr. Francis Murphy is an expert on ADHD, and he joins us on WWL. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. So, you know, you've got kids that are distracted, and, you know, I mean, we're all distracted. Adults, we're all distracted. Are people quick to diagnose themselves or other people with ADHD when it's not really, that's not really the case?
It's hard to tell. There's so many different causes and varieties of it. You know, some people have, you know, very advanced cases of it, and then other people are on the line of being normal and suffer from it in only in slighter ways.
Yeah.
It's kind of a disease that gets dialed in based on a lot of different, you know, where you live, how you were born, how you were, if you're allowed to use your cell phone a lot, if you're in front of a computer a lot, if the type of food you eat, and they all contribute to this disorder. And you have to kind of attack them like one rock at a time.
Is ADHD something you're born with, or is it a condition that develops? Is it a disorder that develops because of your surroundings and your life and what you do?
You acquire it. You acquire ADHD, yes. There's a lot of factors. And so, I mean, there's literally, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been on the radio talking about this for over a year and a half now because it's been a hot subject. They're running out of drugs. Different studies show that there's different causes and then other suspected different causes. And when you really look at the whole picture, there are a lot of different causes, but there's some root causes that create ADHD. One of it is an out-of-balance autonomic nervous system. And to kind of make that simple, everybody has this fight, flight, freeze part of their nervous system that is balanced out by this rest, digest, and heal part of their nervous system. And so now you've broken it down into two categories, and the people that are always in fight, flight, or freeze are the people that are on that spectrum of ADD, ADHD, Tourette syndrome, OCD. And based on like where you live, if you eat, you know, GMO foods or foods that have pesticides in them, things like this, this is a contributor. There's things like geoengineering, the air and the water have things in them. There's a website called EWG, and if you go there and you can type in your zip code, you can find out exactly what is in your water. And we bathe in this water, and so these are all like these contributors that why nobody can put their finger on it. So diagnosing it becomes more difficult because you may have four or five of the symptoms, but not the ones that that doctor are looking for. And so there's toxicity and stuff like that. There's all kinds of things to look at.
Doctor, if it's in the water, then what's the percentage of people that have ADHD? Realistically, what's the real number of people suffering with ADHD? And obviously there are people undiagnosed, but what's the number of diagnosed people with ADHD?
Okay, let me tell you how hard that is to have a question to answer. Like in the 1950s, I believe, people, women were first exposed to aspartame. They were diet sodas. And what came out later is their offspring, especially their male teenage offspring, had very, very high cases of ADHD. Now, was everybody exposed to that in the country? No. But do more people have it than that? Yes. So there are a lot of things that cause endocrine disruption and disruption of this autonomic nervous system. So if you're going to put your finger on one thing and start fixing one thing at a time, I would start with cell phone activity, because it makes kids' postures very bad, which is bad for their brains, and they're less active, which is also bad for their bodies. And they tend to get a lot of bad information, and their posture is very bad while they're using their phones and their computers. And that type of activity can really distort the way the nervous system works. It breaks it down, and it leaves the nervous system susceptible to all these other invaders that I was speaking about before.
All right, so here's my understanding of this. I suffered as a kid. I'm a boomer. And I suffered as a kid with a very serious case of obsessive compulsive disorder. But nobody knew what it was back then. And honestly, I thought I was the only person in the world that had a brain that worked the way my brain worked. So there was no way that it could be diagnosed back then. Go ahead.
I was listening to you earlier, and yeah, back then, there was no ADD or ADHD. It was a D in conduct. And I'm a boomer, too. I can relate to that, totally.
Yeah. So you know, I didn't even know it had a name until, you know, like the mid-90s, and I got help. So it's under control now, but obviously it's something I still deal with every day. What I learned was that what might have happened with me, and this may happen with people with ADHD, is that you're born with a predisposed tendency to have this happen, and that maybe there are things or something in your life triggers it and manifests it full blown in your brain.
I would disagree with that. I think that yes, you may be born with it as a byproduct of the birthing process. You know, that can be very hard on the skull and neck of a baby coming out, and it can alter the function there of that vagus nerve and that sympathetic nervous system in a baby, alter the way they would maybe be able to crawl properly and develop properly. That can happen. But as far as being born with some kind of missing link in the brain, it's not that way. There's definitely insults. These people have, a lot of, you see it online, they've talked themselves into ADD is a superpower, or ADDH is a superpower because you can get super focused and stuff like this. But the actual truth of it is that they have high levels of cortisol and adrenaline. They don't live as long as other people. They're short in stature, and they suffer a lot, especially when they're by themselves.
But if it's like in the water, as you say, then wouldn't even more people have ADHD?
Well, it's not only in the water. As I said, it's in the food. It's in the air. Literally in the air. It's in the water.
Right. So, you know, I kind of used in the water to include all of those things. But if it's that prevalent, yeah. if it's that prevalent, wouldn't more people have it?
Well, we're talking about 1 in 4, right, in the study.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would suggest to you that it's more than that. The average attention span of a human being used to be in 2004, 2.5 minutes, which is pitiful. 2.5 minutes is pitiful. But in 2012, it dropped to 75 seconds. And the most recent study in 2022 says 47 seconds. Now, if it keeps going like this, we won't have an attention span. And if you don't look at all the factors, so this interesting thing about this whole postural distortion and the way the body functions when it has good posture is that it builds you a good blood-brain barrier, and it helps you fight things getting into your brain and causing problems. But sedentary lifestyle is part of it.
I have to get to a break here, but I want to have you on another time when we have more time to talk, because we also have a remote going on today, and what you're bringing up is so deep that this deserves more attention. Can we talk to you again very soon about this? Because I know it's a big problem.
I'd love to. It's what I do.
All right. Dr. Francis Murphy, an expert on ADHD. Thank you so much for the information. All right, we've got to get to a break here. I want to remind you that Ian Hoke is live at People's Health in Metairie, Veterans, and Causeway. Today is the beginning of Medicare's annual enrollment period. Join a plan, change a plan. This is the time to do it. You can get information at People's Health. We don't ever want you to get sick, but if you do, you got People's Health to help take care of you. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, this was the number one song in the country on this day in 1977. And a lot of people, including me, when I was on the air in 1977, we made fun of this song. You Light Up My Life. I mean, what a pansy song is this? I made fun of it. You Light Up My Life. Oh, that's so nice and so sweet. You know when I stopped making fun of it? It's when a lot of people stopped making fun of it. Debbie Boone is a very strong Christian, and she was singing this song to God. She wasn't singing it to a guy. You Light Up My Life. And so that's when people like me, that's a little different story. I mean, it's different than, singing it to a guy named Hank who, you're making out with. You Light Up My Life. It's all, no, she was singing it to God. Anyway, it's number one on this day in 1977. All right, Ian Hoke is at People's Health in Metairie, Vets, and Causeway. Ian, are people coming in to get answers to the complicated issue of enrolling in a Medicare plan, and getting more than just Medicare? You need a plan to help you should you get sick, and your parents need plans. And People's Health is the place to get answers.
Yeah, here's what I love about this. The barrier of entry is so low. Like, you can just come in off the street not knowing anything about Medicare or Medicare Advantage or Part A, B, C, D, all the different parts of this that are complicated. Nobody teaches us this in school. The only way to learn this is to have to go through it. Or at least that's, it's kind of like a trial by fire. That's been the case, until People's Health Medicare Center opened up. And now you can just walk in here and sit down with somebody and say, explain this to me like I'm five. And they can. And they can give you all the help that you need. They can answer all the questions you have, whether it's you or it's a loved one, a parent or a grandparent that's going to make this decision. And it's not a decision that should be made lightly. This is a major change. If you're going from, no insurance to Medicare, or you're doing something ACA, or if you have private insurance and then you found yourself in a situation where you're going to be on Medicare, there's a lot of things in your benefits that are going to change, and the whole sort of, cash flow that you have set aside for healthcare. There's going to be some big changes there. So you want to make sure you sit down with somebody who's an expert who can answer every question you could possibly have. And that's what they're doing out here today.
Yeah, and you don't have to make an appointment for somebody to come to your house. Yeah, you can just go to People's Health. This is October 15th, the beginning of Medicare's annual enrollment period to join a plan or change a plan, and People's Health is going to help you save money. All right, we're going to come back with more in the next hour. We'll talk about what Kamala Harris's senior advisor, I'll tell you what he says about the public polls that show her slightly ahead. Also, a Gen Z would rather be an influencer than a doctor. We'll talk about that next hour as well. And coming up next, it's the Tuesday Text Off. I'm Scoot. Ian is live at People's Health in Metairie, and we'll be right back on WWL. Okay, time for the Tuesday text off. We have an original and we have a cover. Now, we don't necessarily do it in that order, so you decide. There's going to be song A and song B. You decide which is better, song A or song B. Text A or B to the Yokel Hart text line, 504-260-1870. Here is song A. All right, that is song A, and we're going to do a quick one here today. And here is song B. All right, you got a quick sample of song A and song B. All right, which is it? Which one's better? One's a cover, one's the original. Text A or B to the Yokel Hart text line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Text A or B. We'll have the results coming up right after the news. I'm Scoot. Ian's at People's Health in Metairie on WWL.